Welcome to Eco Living in Action, a half-hour sustainable living show with Maureen Howard. From making your own cleaning products to composting, recycling, keeping chooks and reducing your carbon footprint, Maureen and her guests will inspire you with practical, everyday solutions that make a difference. Eco Living in Action, proudly supported by Sustainable Dunedin City.
And welcome to Eco Living in Action. I'm Maureen Howard. This is Otago Access Radio. Now, for those of you who listen into the show, you'll know that I am based in Northern Ireland at the moment and before I come back to New Zealand. But I've taken a few days away from Northern Ireland's shore to come to Manchester in England to give a talk about my travels on freighter ship travel. And while I'm here, I'm taking the opportunity to find out more about some of the sustainability initiatives that are going on here in Manchester. My guest for this show today is Ricky Davies. He's a businessman and an entrepreneur based in Manchester who is seeing opportunities for energy generation where others simply see a waste stream. Ricky is managing director of Biomass Energy Co-op. It's a business that is supplying an innovative type of biomass boiler called the Multibio. This boiler can efficiently and cleanly burn a wide variety of waste types. In addition to the standard wood pellets, it can also burn materials such as straw, olive grounds, and pelletized spent coffee grounds. Waste from coffee grounds in particular is a resource that is sent to landfill in astonishingly large amounts. According to Euromonitor, in 2013, New Zealand's consumed 1.3 kilograms of dry weight coffee per capita, and this puts us in the top 50 countries in the world for coffee consumption, not far behind the UK at 1.7 kilos. In this show, recorded on the 10th of January, I talk with Ricky Davies, Managing Director from Biomass Energy Co-op based in Manchester, about their initiative to convert spent coffee grounds into heat energy. Oh, thank you, Ricky, for inviting me to your house.
No problem.
And so your business is the Biomass Energy Co-op.
Yes.
Is it a fairly new initiative of converting coffee grounds into energy?
It certainly is. There's nobody doing it at present other than in prototype form anywhere, as far as I understand.
In the whole world?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's got the potential, but as I'll explain.
Yes. So you yourself, you're not an engineer? What's your background?
Well, we started the Biomass Energy Co-op about 5 years ago. The purpose of it was to utilise the biomass technologies in order to use waste streams and see whether we can use waste streams that are coming out of our cities and farms and industry and turning that into heat that we can use in our homes and our localities of one form or another. So it wasn't just necessarily about coffee that we were looking at. We were looking at all the different waste streams, anything from straw, brewery waste, different forms of wood waste, woody waste, orchard waste. And we've hit also on coffee. Coffee is the second largest traded commodity in the world after oil. And there you are.
It is an incredible fact that you've just said there, that yep. It's the second most traded commodity.
Well, it stands to scrutiny.
So, and here in Manchester, I guess you have calculated how much coffee waste there is?
Yeah, a small coffee shop will produce about 10 kilos of waste coffee a day. Medium, little, you know, obviously more than that, and a large one, a lot more than that. We know that one large multiple, for example, produces around 10 tonnes a week just in this region of coffee grounds. So it's a massive amount of waste, that is going wholly or mainly to landfill. Some of it's been used in composting and recirculated, but the vast majority of it isn't sorted and just goes straight into landfill.
Yeah, where it then breaks down anaerobically, produces methane.
Yep, and contributes towards global warming. Yes.
So your motivation, have you come at it, I guess, from a concern for the environment and wanting to solve a problem?
Yeah, the shorter any transport loop can be in terms of the The way that waste is treated, the way that we harvest energy, and the way that we stop using fossil fuels as the means of energy production. Any way we can do that is going to be an improvement. And this, although I have business interests elsewhere, this is a social entrepreneurial project, and it's for the good of the local community and the good of our own earth that I'm doing this project. And I've been engaged in it for now 5 years.
Right. And one other thing I noticed that, you know, it's the biomass energy co-op. So you've actually set your business up as a co-op.
Well, my wife was a leading part of the development of cooperative businesses in this country for the main co-op in this country. And she persuaded me that rather than go down the traditional business route, to go down the cooperative route and get more people involved, which was the best advice we've had in that respect.
Because everybody, I guess, comes in as a player and has...
It's equal.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how much money you've got, you've still got the same vote as someone who's put the smallest amount of money in. Everybody contributes and can and is invited to contribute in the same way.
Yeah.
So it's a good sharing of talents.
Yeah. And another thing I like about it is the cooperative structure, it can't be so easily sold off, you know.
No. It can't be subsumed.
Taken over. So, back to the project. So, when did it actually start the work on looking at the coffee grounds?
A few years ago, we were lucky enough to capture the rights for this country for a boiler that had the capability of burning biomass substances that other boilers wouldn't be able to do. One of the key considerations when you want to burn an organic substance is the emissions that combustion has, the effect it has on the environment in terms of its fumes and exhaust gases. Wood is a very good biomass product because it produces a lot less ash than other biomass products, and it's quite clean in the way that it burns, and therefore it can pass these quite rigorous environmental standards which are necessary to protect our clean air. If you want to burn other forms of biomass, then you start encountering problems in that in the amount of particulates there are in the exhaust flue and the type of gases that are coming out of the exhaust flue and going up the chimney into the air. So you need a boiler that can cope with those things. You need
and
a
burn
boiler.
It at a sufficient temperature.
And burn it and clean the and clean the exhaust gases to such a degree that it's okay. And this boiler can do that. And therefore, it puts it in a position where you can start considering for the first time other forms of biomass other than just wood. And that's where we get to the point where we can consider things like coffee, straw, olives.
Yeah.
I mean, you can burn these things in the countryside because the laws are a lot less rigorous in the countryside, but you can't do it in the city. In the UK and Europe, most people live in the city. Most people produce waste in the city, and that's where we need to be.
So what size is this boiler? Like, what kind of volumes are you talking about?
You're talking about boilers that are not domestic. You're talking about non-residential. Or if you go to residential, you're talking about flats, really. Mm-hmm. So boilers...
So it could be done at a community level?
Yes,
or,
yes. The boilers are for offices, community halls, sports centres, multiple occupancies, that type of thing, yeah.
Which kind of makes sense as well, because it even could somehow be attached to, you know, a cluster of shops, you know, and coffee shops.
Yeah, exactly. You can feed it. You can feed a number of buildings in what's called a district heating circuit by having one boiler to feed a number of buildings. That's possible.
Right. I guess you chose the coffee grounds because they're very numerous. And what other qualities about the coffee grounds were suitable for this?
There's a number of qualities that coffee's got. One is, as you said, it's very plentiful. It's a real authentic waste product that would otherwise go to landfill. Its composition is very similar to wood, lignin, cellulose, hemicellulose, and oil. And that's specifically 20% of coffee grounds, spent coffee grounds, is actually the same stuff as you would harvest for biodiesel, waste vegetable oil. So it's got certain properties. Energy is obviously a very good one if you've got quite a bit of oil in it. It's got the same calorific value when burnt as wood, plus a little bit more because of the oil content in it as well. So it's a fabulous, it's a fuel with fabulous potential. There is the idea at the moment that you can actually extract the oil before burning it and get the double whammy of being able to have a couple of litres of biodiesel and some biofuel at the same time.
Mm. But you really want to just use it for the energy? And when you're talking about energy, you're using that energy directly to heat a building, for example?
Yes. Yeah. So the process is you collect the coffee, you dry the spent coffee grounds, you pelletize it so that it's a consistent fuel in terms of the way that it can be delivered and organized by the feed system, and then it just burns in a boiler. And the ash that comes out of it is a fertilizer in itself, is a potash.
Oh, right.
So it's a nice virtuous circle.
Right. Well, that's very good. And so you've actually returned some of that ash, have you?
So generally there isn't huge quantities from a single boiler. So generally it's someone who might grow roses or, you know, like it for his garden or her garden, you know.
Now I'm interested in, you know, you talk about, because obviously the coffee comes to you and it's damp. And how do you, what's the drying process and how much energy does that use?
Right, well, there's two issues there. First of all, it can dry in the air. So it can be air dried, and there isn't, if you've got sufficient space, you can actually dry the coffee. And
you need to spread it out.
Yeah, by just spreading it out. You don't gain any particular benefit from force drying it. However, if you've got a ready supply of fuel, which you have if you've got the coffee, you can dry it by, and you'll lose about 15% of the coffee that you have, drying the rest of it, just creating the environment in which it will dry itself. You need to take it down to about 15% moisture. And the other way you can do it is there's investigating now whether we can help it dry on its journey to us. There are different devices that we can do on that.
Tumbler or something?
Or different chemicals or whatever.
Right, okay. And when it comes to you then, you said you dry it and you pelletize it, and that process, you're not adding anything to it at that point, are you?
No, there's no. If anything, you might take the oil away. Taking the oil away has two advantages. One, the oil itself has got a beneficial value in as much as it can be used as a biodiesel. And secondly, it reduces the level of emissions that you're creating by taking the oil away as well.
Oh, okay.
Because the oil, when it's burnt as a biomass fuel, will create more issues going up the chimney than it will do out of the energy coming out of it. So it's better to remove it. Or it may well be better to remove it. That's one of the things that we're trying to establish from the study.
Mm. So at the moment you are at the study level and you're comparing...
We know that coffee burns. We know that coffee can be pelletized. We know that we can dry coffee in the way that I've just described. We know that there's enough of it. We know lots of things. What we have to prove in this country, in any country with good quality air control and air quality legislation, we have to prove that it will go through that legislation. We have to prove that it's viable from the point of view of passing all the necessary environmental protections that are in place in a modern society like ours. That's where we're up to. So there's all manner of different laboratory tests to perform to show that the combustion of the coffee is safe enough for it to go out in boilers across across the city.
And so I presume you've contacted Manchester City Council and...
We've got an award. We won an innovation competition from what's called the Combined Authority, so it's all the different councils in Manchester, in order to prove this, to prove concept.
Right.
So that's what we're on with at the moment.
So they're pretty excited about what you're doing then.
They're excited enough to give us some money to help it along.
Well, and of course it benefits them too, because you could be potentially taking out a whole layer of that waste stream, in terms of that.
And it's also, given the fact that it isn't being done, as far as I'm aware, anywhere else in the world, it's a first, and that's a good thing.
Yeah. So now you say that this is kind of the first type of this, using this boiler to process and burn this coffee to create energy. Are there other projects out there that are doing similar things?
Yeah, well, we hear from time to time of other boiler manufacturers and other people wanting to develop the coffee as a biomass fuel for the same reasons as I rehearsed today earlier to you, you know, the plentiful supply and the energy content, etc. However, it's all about how it burns. It's all about the particular technology that's applied to the coffee in order to make it burn, and the air quality resultant coming, you know, as a result of a combustion. And so that's the real thing. The real story here is the boiler rather than the fuel. And we've got a boiler there that does something in a very simple and very effective way, and it means that quite a lot of the problems that are caused when you burn a biomass fuel are taken out at source. Mm-hmm. Whereas quite a lot of the other technologies the competition are dealing with seem to be wanting to deal with the problem later on after combustion, such as scrubbing the air and cleaning and filtering and neutralising and all this these chemical processes. We can, because of the technology that's trademarked under our, you know, what we've been able to capture for the UK, we can deal with quite a lot of those problems very, very early on, which makes it a lot cheaper and a lot more cost-effective for the end user.
Mm. So what in particular is different about your boiler to other boilers?
It's all about the way that wood or any biomass fuel burns. It's about the cradle or the hearth, if you like, the burning chamber for the boiler. In most cases, this grate, if you like, if you remember when you put coal on a fire, it fuses together. Mm. It makes an ash and then it makes clinker, and that clinker is quite aggressive, in as much particularly if it's in an internal space. You know, it can wear down parts. It can wear down metal if you try and move it. And you know, it's quite a lot of a problem. So essentially, when something burns in an internal combustion engine, such as a boiler, you've got to get rid of its waste product, which is its ash. And if you don't get rid of the ash very quickly, and if you don't get rid of it in a clean way, it'll clinker. It'll cling to whatever moving parts there are, and it'll generally wear down your boiler very quickly. The difference with our boiler to everyone else's is that we burn our wood in a cylindrical tube. And that tube, during the burning process, turns so that the you end up with a sausage-shaped lump of ash, which falls out the end of it at the end of the sausage maker. And at that point, by doing that, what's happened is you've bound together quite a lot of the particulates that would otherwise have dissipated throughout the boiler. You've got the ash out of the boiler. It's clean. There's a lot of processes within just that very, very simple process, jet process, if you like, just as the way a jet or a washing machine might move stuff around. That's what it does, and it ends up with a sausage shape, almost like when you burn a cigarette too quickly. You know, you draw down on it too quickly, you end up with a large ash column. Mm-hmm. And that in itself does a lot to create better air quality in terms of the waste air going up up the flue, or the fumes going up the flue. And secondly, there are various different devices that you can do to make the ash come out of the rest of the flue gases on its journey by chucking it round different bends and in different tubes and whatever. And that's some of its more technical gubbins, if you like, that's going on as well. But essentially, the main innovation is this tubular burning process, which is...
And then that has to be removed eventually.
Well, it falls out into an ash can, right. And you just empty the ash can. It's not the ash can doesn't need emptying.
But because it doesn't kind of get rigid and stuck in the thing, because it's always being rolled around.
But the ash can needs to be emptied maybe once a week, every couple of weeks. We've even got automated systems where it's ferried away from the boiler, and therefore the gap between maintenance is even longer than, you know, a week or two.
That's fascinating. So have you done some calculations on how much energy you can produce from, let's say, a certain amount of coffee grounds?
Yeah, well, using wood as the benchmark, because coffee is essentially, as I said, the same chemical composition, just with a little bit of oil added to it, you get about 4,800 kilowatt hours of heat out of a ton of wood. We would expect coffee to be very similar. So a coffee shop, a small coffee shop, might produce about 2 tons of dried, ready-to-use coffee pellets in a year. So that's not, you know, that's only going to give them 10,000 kilowatts hours of heat when they probably need about 20. So once you get to a medium-sized coffee shop, you can almost argue that there's a viability there of a medium-sized coffee shop can be viable with heat. You know, made from the waste that they produce.
Right.
So if you add other things into that they might produce as a cafe, such as cardboard waste and all manner of other things, you can see that there is this holy grail of being able to utilise your waste streams in order to heat, whilst it's some distance away because of logistics and the way that refuse collection is organised. It can be feasible over the long. And we just need to reorganise the way that we do things in order to get to that point.
Yeah, and I could imagine that, you know, a coffee shop or chain of coffee shops could start advertising that, you know, they are linked to a programme where their waste is converted into energy, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
And perhaps even it could help make them carbon neutral.
Yeah, well, I hear that there's a competition on in Manchester to get the first carbon-neutral cup of coffee. I don't quite know how they're going to do that, because you've got to drag the coffee bean from, you know, quite a long way away in order to do it, and that's got to be factored in somewhere. But if a waste stream then has a positive contribution somewhere along the line, then, you know, maybe we're a bit nearer to that point.
Of course.
One step closer.
And also this boiler, you say, like, it's able to deal with even different waste streams, isn't it?
Yeah.
You talked about the olive grinds?
Yeah, so in the Mediterranean area, there's a huge amount of olive kernel waste. Because when you make olive oil, you need to, for whatever reason, and I'm not a farmer, I don't know this, for whatever reason, you actually crush the stone in the middle as part of the process. And it's dried in the sun. You end up with a very, very good biomass fuel as a byproduct of the olive manufacturing process.
And are they currently using it?
Yeah, obviously in the Mediterranean countries, we don't need as much heat as we do up here in wet northern Manchester and northern Europe. So it's only a short hop. When you consider we're pulling most biomass fuels from North America and all these other places, it's a bit daft to be cutting down trees and transporting them across the world. Whereas these biomass fuels, such as olive kernels, straw and the like, are ready-made waste streams that would otherwise be wasted out. You know, they can be utilised as a heat source for us. So it's much more sensible and sustainable to utilise waste streams such as that, other than the, you know, virgin wood.
Right. And so, do you see yourself, you know, providing like quite a big service, perhaps for Manchester and beyond?
I certainly want to go beyond Manchester, but you know, it's Manchester's my hometown. It's where it's where you're going to start. It's a major city. The best city, perhaps.
I've been very impressed by Manchester, even though I have got drizzled on today.
Well, if you're in Manchester, you're always going to get drizzled on. That's what's going to happen. So we would hope that we've certainly got ambition for this to be national and across the British Isles. But we've got partners all over Europe that are doing this, you know, who have got these boilers. They're going in Sweden and Spain and Italy and Czech.
Who are part of your co-op?
Well, they're part of, as I said, we own the rights to this boiler called Multibio, or a Czech boiler, which has got this innovation that enables it to burn biomass streams that wouldn't ordinarily be able to be burnt in a normal biomass boiler. And there's rights holders all over Europe, maybe all over the world, that doing similar things to what we're doing, in as much as they're trying to develop waste streams. And those waste streams can be anything from pea pod husks, nut kernels, bits of olive, straw, all manner of different things.
Yeah. So every region can be figuring out what is our waste stream that we can use.
What's local to us. I mean, like in Scotland, you've got mash from the whiskey industry, you've got brewery waste all over the rest of the country. There's even in different regions, there are different waste streams coming out of agriculture or industry that can be utilised. And if you change your boiler settings, you'll be able to use that rather than something else. That's right. The future.
Right, it's great, yes. Mm. Yes, instead of looking for our gas and oil and through fracking and things like this.
Well, it's crazy. But Jane Fonda said yesterday, was it, or certainly in the last week, that there's enough renewable sources of renewable energy for us to utilise until, for as long as we come, for as long as now, in order to come to a fully renewable solution very shortly. So,
well, all the very best with this.
Okay.
Yeah, and what are your immediate plans for the future?
Well, we've got final certification testing, which we're very positive about, because we've been given the heads up by the laboratory engineers already at the end of this month. So certification for the one test boiler that we're using, because we've got to do every model and every size, if you like. Mm-hmm. That's going to happen at the end of this month. Once we've done that, then we can go to market and show that this really works. It's good for the clean air quality, and it's a viable business proposition which should be utilised across Manchester and across the country. So it's all going to happen in 2017.
Right. Oh, wow. So this is an important year. Well, all the best, and thank you very much.
No problem. Thank you.
And thank you for listening to Eco Living in Action. My guest today was Ricky Davies, Managing Director from Biomass Energy Co-op, and we talked about this company's initiative to convert spent coffee grounds into waste heat energy. If you'd like to listen to the show again, you can download it as a podcast from the Otago Access Radio website at oar.org.nz. Eco Living in Action is sponsored by Sustainable Dunedin City. So thanks for listening, and I'll catch you next week.
Sustainable Dunedin City aims to facilitate a positive, secure and sustainable future for Dunedin. We're local people interested in issues of climate change, declining energy security and sustainability. As they affect our city, Sustainable Dunedin City produces a regular online newsletter of sustainability-related events, hosts regular green drink sessions and organises the Big Green Challenge. For more information or to join, go to www.sustainabledunedincity.org.nz.
First does strip and bark the logs, and and sends them to the benchman standing by. He slips the millsaw through, never mind what slips and pokes. It's then that you'll see the chips and the sawdust fly. Keep them logs rolling, boys, down to the mill, me boys. Keep them logs rolling down, for we'll drive the crosscuts through just to show what we can do. We'll pave all the streets of London town.